The suspected chemical attack on the Syrian town of Douma on 7th of April has led to escalating military and diplomatic tensions over the ongoing crisis in the country, and renewed questions about the role of the international community in intervening in a crisis that's now estimated to have caused 450,000 deaths and displaced 12 million people. This IBA podcast considers the obligation to intervene and the continuing paralysis of the UN Security Council, as well as wider regional concerns across the Middle East and the ongoing challenge of accepting refugees. Offering their views are Kofi Annan, UN Secretary General from 1997 to 2006, Patricia O'Brien, Under Secretary General for Legal Affairs and UN Legal Counsel from 2008 to 2013, Bernard Kouchner, co-founder of Médecins Sans Frontières and a former French Minister of Foreign and European Affairs, and José Manuel Barroso, who served for 10 years as President of the European Commission. We begin with Kofi Annan.
The Syrian situation is a particularly difficult one and doesn't lend itself necessarily to the kind of intervention that we saw in responsibility to protect. But the pressure is still there, whether you do it under the responsibility to protect or under moral and legal obligations to protect people who are trapped in this situation to try to end the war. The international community, the countries concerned, have an obligation to make an effort. And as you would recall, I myself at the beginning was one of the envoys on the Syrian. And people ask me, why are you taking it on? It's an impossible situation. So when you see women and children being killed the way they were, and when you can anticipate the way the crisis was likely to evolve and engulf the whole region, you cannot refuse. And when you are asked to help, you have to go out and do whatever you can. So the responsibility to protect implies using all the means, political, economic, diplomatic pressure, to bring the situation under control, and in the extreme, use force, push force to the service of peace if it becomes necessary. But one has to be very careful and be sure that the force you are going to use is not going to do more harm than good. I think Syria apart, the Security Council is today a bit anachronistic. It reflects the geopolitical realities of 1945. The world has changed and is changing very fast. And the UN has to change and adapt and move with the world. My own view is that the Security Council has to reform. As Secretary General, I tried very hard and put forward concrete proposals for reform. We did not succeed. But I don't think we have any choice but to reform, or the primacy of the Council will be challenged. Ideally, you would want to take the veto away from those who have it so that we don't have the situation you refer to, where a permanent member can block action without putting forward an alternative and paralyzes the whole Council and the international community.
Patricia O'Brien discusses the continuing failure of the Security Council to act on Syria, but emphasizes the UN's determination to seek justice against the perpetrators of crimes in the crisis.
We all know that the real issue on everybody's mind is the paralysis within the Security Council. I mean, that is the big topic of discussion. However, it is a reality. It is a paralysis. We don't see any really light in this particular tunnel. However, it's not to say that the Security Council isn't addressing its mind to this issue. It is meeting on a regular basis. The other P5 members other than China and Russia are really putting an enormous amount of moral and political pressure on those two states. I truly believe that the shadow of justice is hanging over the perpetrators of these crimes currently, and that this is very much in their minds, the extent to which there is nowhere to turn, and that justice will come to get them, essentially. There will be a day of reckoning. And that is the message of the United Nations. From our perspective, we are insistent that there will be justice for Syria.
The lack of intervention by the international community and the risks and concerns in the wider region are assessed by Bernard Kouchner.
We knew that Bashar al-Assad was a dictator. And we didn't prepare the ground. We didn't prepare any sort of intervention, including peaceful intervention. We were not attentive enough. about the situation of human rights fighters and the real situation of the women in the country, etc. To start something against Syria means to start a confrontation with Iran, Hezbollah, and with the Shiite part of the Muslim religion against the Sunnis, who are largely majoritarian because they are more or less 80% of the... So it makes a sort of a very risky situation in a very risky place called Middle East. Well, at the beginning, it was possible to make a demonstration and to say we don't want any more war in the area. But it was not done, and now it's certainly a bit too late. We have to reform the UN system.
José Manuel Barroso considers the ongoing implications of the refugee crisis from Syria and the role of the European Union and other international and regional powers.
Of course, the comprehensive solution can come only if there is peace and stability in those regions affected by the conflict, from Syria to Libya, Iraq. And that is a major effort that requires the commitment of the parties themselves in the conflict, but also the regional players and the so-called international community, including, by the way, the United States of America. The reality is that the situation in that region is very bad, is tragic, and I don't believe it's going to get better in the near future. Most likely it is going to get worse before it can get better. We certainly have to welcome many of those people who are trying to reach Europe. It's a moral issue. It's a humanitarian issue. The refugees, we have to make space for them in our societies. When I was president of the commission, I was in some refugee camps. For instance, in the north of Jordan, in Zaatari camp, I interviewed many of those Syrian people. People middle class that have seen their homes destroyed, and they simply escaped because they want to give a minimum of conditions to their families. And I say myself, and I said it already publicly, if I was a Syrian with three sons as I have, of course I'll do anything I could to reach Europe or to reach a place where I think I could live at least in peace, if possible, with some level of prosperity. So this is a major challenge, and I believe we need to act on different phases. We need proper sequencing. Now, the more urgent thing is these refugees. We have very rich countries that are Muslim countries that can do their part. In fact, they should do more. Because really, let's be serious about it, sometimes it makes problems of integration, receiving so big, let's say, communities that are from other, let's say, culture or religion. So I think rich countries of the region should also do more, and some of them have the means. Also the United States of America, because in fact, the United States of America are much bigger than any European country individually. So we have countries in Europe, Sweden, Denmark, very small countries in terms of population that are smaller. All their population is smaller than New York. And they are receiving many more refugees than all the United States.